So, Mike,
I kind of want to talk a little bit about Xamarin.
Okay.
I see an awful lot about Xamarin in people, certainly C-sharp developers who are trying to go cross-platform. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like a pretty good choice for them, to be honest, because they're still able to write in C-sharp code and use some of that skill set that they have there, but target all of these different devices, Android, iOS, and I've seen Miguel show off Google Glass as well, that they could target that platform, which is quite interesting. What, for someone which hasn't seen Xamarin, what is it?
Yeah, so I suppose it's a way of, rather than if you're trying to target multiple devices, so like you say, iOS devices, Android devices, and say Windows devices, so phones and Windows 8.1 devices, if you didn't have a technology like Xamarin, you would really have to be learning multiple platforms and multiple frameworks and multiple languages and tools. So, you know, on Android, you might be writing Java, you might be using something like Eclipse maybe, and then over on iOS, you're going to be sitting in Xcode and you're going to be writing Objective-C, and then you're going to come over to Windows and you might be sitting in Visual Studio and you might be writing, say, C Sharp or something like that and .NET. There's a lot of people out there with .NET skills and who are wanting to build apps and obviously wanting to get on as many devices as they can. So Xamarin offers the possibility of being able to write C-sharp code, but being able to get a native application for Windows and Windows Phone, iOS devices, and Android devices while continuing to write C-sharp code. And that's really, you know, if you are a .NET developer and you love C-sharp, that's an attractive thing. You don't have to throw out everything you know. You can learn something about the new platforms while keeping some of the pieces fixed, you know. As you know, it's hard to learn a new tool and a new language and a new framework and some bits about a new operating system all at the same time. Yeah. So we keep some things fixed and stick to your C-sharp and .NET whilst being able to build for, as you say, Android, iOS, and Windows. Well, of course, you can already build for Windows in C-sharp. Yeah. So
fundamentally, then, the C-sharp stuff would be the same, effectively. You'd be writing Windows stuff the same way as you would ordinarily, but then you would be potentially writing the Android and iOS stuff differently, and it would be cross-compiling to these other platforms.
Well, in some cases, there is some compilation done. So I think for iOS, you've got to have compilation done because of the way that the Apple Store works. So I think in that case, Xamarin does do some compilation for you. I think for Android, it works slightly differently. But you could look at it, really, you say writing sort of the Windows stuff the same, but you probably, if you want to maximize the portability of what you write, you probably are going to have to design and factor and package a certain way such that what you write is going to be as portable as possible across those platforms. I mean, of course, what you could do is you could write three completely separate apps all in C#. And at least you're staying in C#, but you're not getting much portability. What you want to do is write the C# once such that it can run on all three platforms, which means you have to take particular, typically design sort of structuring architectural decisions to make sure that what you've got is portable and that the non-portable bits are plugged in nicely so that you can replace them on another platform.
Sure. One of the things that I quite like about the Xamarin approach, because you see this a lot with cross-platform tools, where you kind of write once and then it does some black box magic trick, which just gets it running in the other platforms. And what ends up happening is you get, if say you build Windows first, you end up with a Windows style application on iPhone and on Android. Or if you build iPhone first, you get an iPhone-y style application on Windows and Android. Sure, yeah. And it's the UI and the user experience is identical across those three platforms.
Yeah.
On some games specifically, that can work quite well.
Sure, yeah.
But I think when it comes to apps, having sort of some level of the operating system and some of the commonality of the user experience, I think that really helps build an application. So one of the things I like about the Xamarin project is that they encourage you to write the UI layer in the native language and then build, sort of share the C# aspect of it, but then sort of be using or be writing the UI specifically for those platforms.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say so much necessary sort of language. It's the native UI sort of widget set, if you like.
Sure.
So effectively, the way I always think about this, if you're building an app with a UI, you've got, you know, you've got sort of three layers really to it. You've got the UI layer with your budget buttons and
budget?
Budgets, yeah.
Budget
you've got your budget on the UI. You've got your UI with your buttons and list boxes and that kind of thing. And then you've got some logic that sits behind that, sort of in the middle, if you like, of your app, which is perhaps talking to those UI controls and getting data from them and so on, and doing some validation on them and looping and whatever it is it does. And then below that, you've got the platform API layer, so the thing that lets you talk to the file system and the network and the camera and the GPS and all that stuff. And really, the sort of Xamarin approach is saying, well, you want that native UI and that native experience, so we'll make sure you can talk to that from C# on each platform, but it's going to be different. You know, an Android button is not a Windows Phone button, it's not an iOS button. And you want that native API layer underneath. You want to be able to exploit whatever the capabilities are that iOS gives you around its camera versus what Windows Phone gives you around its camera, and so on, and live tiles and those kinds of things. You want that. So what we'll do is offer you those two things callable from C#, and the bit in the middle that is your logic, that's where you get your portable reuse. That's where you can say, well, if my logic is such that, you know, we validate that the age field is over 18, then we only have to write that once. And plugging it into an Android UI and an iOS UI and a Windows Phone API layer, say, to write it into a file, that's something that is still platform specific, but that bit in the middle is just C#, and you can just try and maximize the portability of that C# you've got in the sort of middle layer of the application, really.
When you're writing a UI, are you writing this kind of, are you doing it in a sort of code behind way, like where you actually instantiate through code your UI? Is that how you most people would take this approach?
You can do that, but no. I mean, if you're running across, obviously, if you're working on, say, Windows Phone, then you're going to probably perhaps be authoring a UI in XAML, so use a markup language for that sort of thing. You can, of course, create buttons from code if you want to, but typically people author a markup language. If you're on Android, you've got to move the X along a little bit and write AXML markup language, where, again, you're defining buttons in that. And if you're on iOS, you can use the interface builder over there to define. Again, I think ultimately it is an XML file that pops out of that thing. Right. So each one of the platforms has got its own way of defining what the APIs are to their widget set. And then Xamarin is doing the work to glue, if you like, your C# code ability to pull out, let's say, the text from the text box or the selected item from the, I'll say, list view, because I don't think that's common across all three platforms. Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they're doing that glue. And of course, if you're from, say, the XAML world, you'll be quite used to using things like data binding. You won't be used to, you know, talking to a text box and trying to get the text out of it. That's a bit last century for the XAML developer. They want to data bind those things, and that naturally then leads you into, well, what do I do to data bind on Android, and what would I do to data bind on iOS, where those concepts might not be so common. So you get into those areas as you go along.
Is that not what Stuart Lodge's library, MVVM Cross, is about? Is that trying to solve that problem?
Yeah, I think, so Stuart's a very talented UK developer. He's got his MVVM Cross library and framework in many ways, because he's got his own sort of way of structuring an application such that you end up with something, if you go along the sort of guidance of it, you end up something that almost as portable as you're going to get. So he kind of does things on two sides of things. He helps you in the sense of he's got some bits to try and enable that idea of things like cross-platform binding. So that's kind of the code in the middle talking to the UI. But then also, you know, we're all going to want to talk to the file system, we're all going to want to talk to the camera, and so on and so forth. So his framework also has the idea of plugins, if you like, at the lower level, where you can use his plugins, and he'll abstract you then, if you like, from the three underlying main operating systems. So he's doing work at both above you on the UI and below you in the platform layer, so that when you come to save your first file, you don't have to go and write the Windows file saving code and the iOS file saving code and the Android file saving code, because you could use a framework like his to provide something that's already built.
Okay. I think there's a great website called Property Cross, which shows all the different frameworks that you could use for cross-platform development.
Right.
And then it breaks it out in the kind of way that you say UI, you know, business logic and so forth, it breaks out, well, how much of this is I'm going to write for each specific platform,
yeah,
and how much is shared across those. And I think Xamarin shows there's a lot of sharing, but it's not potentially as much as other platforms. But the beauty that you have with Xamarin is that it is device specific. It ends up being an application which the end user probably wouldn't necessarily be able to tell that it's cross-platform. It feels like a native application.
Yeah, I think that's the choice you got to make, isn't it? So you kind of, do you go with a sort of lowest common denominator solution, which, you know, probably the lowest common denominator solution might be something like a sort of hosted web view kind of thing.
Beautiful.
You like those, hosted web view kind of thing. But, you know, that gets you to apps on all platforms very quickly.
Yeah.
And then there are various sort of tiers above there, all the way up to, you know, using a particular platform vendor's tool and language and their native APIs. So, you know, it's a spectrum. You get to make your choice. But I think, like you say, the strength of the Xamarin approach is that it's not cutting you off from anything that you could do as a native platform developer. It's just enabling you to do it in C#.
So the bottom end of the spectrum as well, you're going to have to be, if you were to do it vanilla, you're kind of going to have to write to each different abstraction. So if we were going to try and save, take a picture on the device, mm-hmm. and then save it to disk,
yeah,
can we walk through just the bits where we would share code and where we wouldn't? So the UI, the UI.
Well, if we're going to start with the UI, so you know, you probably let's say we're going to have a button that's going to invoke the camera experience on the three different devices. So we're going to have three different buttons.
Right.
So we're going to have a button for Windows, we're going to have a button for Android, we're going to have a button for iOS. And then presumably, let's say we're going to have a little bit. We're not really going to have very much logic here, are we really? But we're going to have a little bit of logic that might be, you know, myClass.takePhoto or something like that. And that's going to be common across the three. And then you're going to have something underneath there that's going to be calling into the native APIs for the camera experience on Windows, iOS, and Android. And that's going to be different code across those three things. Just like, you know, you would get today, if you looked at Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8.1, you'd have different code across those two platforms today. Similar sort of thing across Windows, iOS, and Android. You're going to have different code at the bottom layer for those things. And coming back to what we just talked about with Stuart's library, I think he has an abstraction that would mean you could write one piece of code. And then he's written the three pieces of code that plug in on the specific platforms. So you are going to have, you still have three apps, you still have three UIs, and you sort of have three pieces of implementation sitting underneath that. And obviously your aim is to get as much as you can into that sort of portable section in the middle of your application. And the more logic you have, you know, if your aim is to calculate pi, you can do all that portably.
Yeah.
If your aim is to then write it to the file system, where you have to write some specific code at that point to save it.
When you keep mentioning the kind of the word portable, and it invokes portable class libraries in my mind, can you use those in a Xamarin project?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
There's something which has changed. I mean, I don't follow it that closely, but I know there was something which has changed around our position at Microsoft around opening up some of that portable class library. Definition.
Yeah, so the Xamarin guys support portable class libraries. I mean, the trick with portable class libraries is always kind of portable across what?
Right.
Because you could make, in theory, a portable class library only supported one platform, and then, you know, it's portable just to that platform, and you can use all the features of that platform, but you just can't take it anywhere else. So in the Xamarin case, you can make a portable class library, but for instance, you're not going to be able to write code inside that portable class library that would, for instance, talk to the camera.
Right, okay.
Because it's going to be, that's not portable code.
Yeah.
So what you end up doing typically is building a little abstraction, some kind of interface, you know, for, let's just say, an interface with one function on it, take photo. And that function then you're going to probably implement three times, and you will somehow make sure that on each platform you're calling the right implementation of the function. There's different techniques to doing that, but that's typically what you're going to be doing. And that gets kind of fun and interesting because, for instance, on Windows, talking to the camera would naturally be an asynchronous thing. Not sure how that's modeled on Android and iOS, but it might be a bit different. And then you get into, well, what data types can that function take and what data types can that function return, because they've also got to be portable too.
Sure, yeah.
So you know, it gets kind of entertaining as to what you can manage to cram into that portable class library, because every time you effectively Every time you add a target platform to your portable class library, you reduce the available API set that you can use. Right. Yeah.
So one thing we should mention is that Xamarin is not free.
No. Well, they do have a free. There is a free version of Xamarin. Yes.
Okay. But,
there's also a paid version.
So the version which plugs into Visual Studio, at least the version I use, isn't free.
No, that's true.
But I think, in my mind, if you're looking to kind of port to lots of different platforms, this could save you an awful lot of time. Specifically for a C# developer, it could probably save the amount of time which it's going to cost in outlay, I think, at least. What did you, when you started learning or looking at Xamarin, where did you go? What was the resources?
I just went to Xamarin.com.
Right.
And to give Xamarin's, you know, it's great technology, but it's also, I find their developer introductions are really, really well done. They've got some really nice introductions to their technology and links off to the other technologies, you know, so links off to Android or iOS or Windows. And so I think they've got some very, very good resources for walking through those things. I think the important thing up front is for somebody who's thinking about doing this is to realize, you know, is to build some kind of Hello World application, to build the thing that puts up some UI, captures a piece of text and saves it into the file system, something as simple as that. So you get the idea of what the steps involved are and where you are going to see those differences. And then step back a little bit and think about, okay, so how do I actually structure what I'm about to build such that I can build some portable code that takes a dependency on something that's not portable?
Sure.
And there are already, as we said, with things like MVVM Cross, there are already people who are burnt quite a way down that trail. So you may want to adopt that, or you may want to look at what was done there and maybe not adopt if you don't like it. But at least be aware of what it is that, you know, the problems that were trying to be solved by frameworks like that, because you don't want to spend, you know, 6 months reinventing a wheel when that wheel would have fitted you just fine in the first place.
I mean, the good thing about that Property Cross website I was talking about is they do actually, you can download the source of the non-trivial application called Property Cross that they build, and it gives you a good introduction as to see, and this goes for any cross-platform technology, because there's tons of different types, the Titanium, that's the only one which comes to my head for
phone
some reason.
Phone Gap,
Kendo UI. There's tons of different little platform, and they implement everything and then show you the stats on how much code sharing,
and
then give you the source code so you can have a look at it. And it's the same app, so it's quite a good reference point, I think. Anyway.
Yeah, and I think again, if you go to Xamarin, I think they've got a to-do list project or something like that.
Everyone does a to-do list.
I do Flickr searches, but everyone does to-do lists. And I think also if you go and look at the bits for MVVM Cross, I think Stuart has a project as well that, you know, is a sort of example project, and he has tutorials on YouTube and all kinds of things for that particular project. Obviously, you can do these things without that, or you can do these things with it. It's your choice, and you make the decision on what you need.
That's it for this week's show. Happy hacking.